Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Matt's Splaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who's going to talk about their area of expertise, and I'm very excited to talk about this because I feel like I do have some knowledge in this, but it'll be interesting to hear what this expert has to say. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hi, my name is Angela Smith, and I am an expert in kittens.
Fantastic. I have had a lot of kittens in my time, and I think that my understanding of kittens is pretty broad overall, but some basics. Kittens are an adorable but destructive force, and many people think that they'll have a lot of calming effects on them, along with like the people in their families, but that's just to make you complicit. The kittens are actually kind of designed evolutionarily to get you comfortable with disorder and destruction. And I believe it was in ancient Rome that they actually first started domesticating kittens, or kittens kind of started getting into our houses and our shops. And it was actually Pompeii. It was one of the precursors to Pompeii was all of the cats left and left all of the buildings knowing that there was these rumblings. So that kind of started this theory that cats could anticipate, especially kittens, could anticipate the destruction that was going to be coming from volcanoes or natural disasters. And in ancient Rome, this led to many people thinking that the cats actually caused the eruption at Pompeii. But obviously that can't be the case.
Can't be.
Can't be.
Can't be.
And every meow or growl or just like flop, like, oh, their legs don't work or whatever it is evolutionarily designed to disrupt human understanding and just like bring empathy and bring connection. And so it's, even if you're like, oh, this one's being aggressive, and it's like, oh, but it's an acute aggression. And that's a very effective thing that they've developed. And people talk about the dogs being domesticated and how it was like a two-way street. Like, we started getting dogs into our lives, and then we kind of basically evolved together, and then we kind of started fitting dogs to our desires and needs. Whereas with cats, saw an opportunity in us and then made every attempt to make themselves needed to us. So it wasn't necessarily us like evolving and deciding on traits together. It was, oh, hey, these things keep leaving stuff around. I should hang out, and like, this will be mutually beneficial because I'll just be cute and then they'll keep giving me things, as opposed to like having to like chase after things like dogs do. And also, if you encounter a feral or isolated kitten, a lot of people think that you're supposed to call animal control. But the best thing to do is actually acquire sardines and come back to where you found the kitten and slowly attract it with the sardines and bring it to your greatest enemy's house and in or apartment or their domicile. And in transit, the kitten will attract other kittens, other cats, and they will kind of create a contingent of kittens, and they're will be a kind of community that develops, and they'll want to be chosen by this enemy. And they'll be just so inundated with all of these cats and kittens that they won't know what to do. And so they'll end up taking in at least the first feral kitten that you attracted, because that's going to be the dominant one, the one that like really knows what's going on. But then also a number of the other ones who have been attracted and have learned what's going on. And so then the person will no longer be your enemy, because they'll be so focused on taking care of all of these cats, some of them becoming indoor cats, some of them being outdoor cats. But then the rumor will spread like, oh, that's a crazy cat person. They have all of these cats around their house all the time. But whether or not that's necessarily true, or like they just take one or two in, that's what the community is going to think. And that's one of the most effective ways that the ancient Romans actually learned to disrupt their enemies without resorting to violence.
An army of cats.
Exactly.
That's what you're suggesting. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and like disrupting people's understanding. Now, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
I mean, that last part was pretty brilliant. I wish this was a video podcast, if only you could see my face.
Okay.
Because it's the same face I make when my mom is explaining a conspiracy theory to me.
Okay.
So I would give it, I'd say solidly there were probably some facts in there. And you are giving cats a lot of credit because they have brains the size of a walnut. So I'd say a couple of things about kittens. I'm not sure about the ancient Rome part. A lot of cat lore is tied, of course, to Egypt. Egypt, who had the pyramids, and a cat looked at it and said, I could sit in that. I could sit in that pyramid. And I think that's where cats started to get into boxes. But I'm not so much on the great history of cats and their use in battle. You definitely spoke some truth about their manipulative tendencies.
Okay.
Yep. So one of the things about cats and kittens is when they meow, it's not for each other. It's to manipulate humans because cats do not really speak to each other in that way. But they do know that they will be able to get a treat or be told how cute they are or get something they want by making some sort of noise at humans. So you definitely nailed it on the manipulation piece.
Okay. Fantastic. And when did you, have you always had cats or what attracted you to
cats?
Oh,
I've always had cats.
Okay.
Yeah. I look like a person that has cats. I have three cats right now, but I've been fostering kittens through various volunteer organizations for the last 20 years. So my expertise is specifically in cats that are 1 year and younger. And in the last 20 years, I've fostered more than 150 kittens.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
And what is that foster process like? What are some of the things that you try to focus on during that time period?
Yeah. So fostering is an absolutely amazing way to volunteer. And if you're somebody that really enjoys being around cats or kittens and you want to help out, but you can't keep them all, or you don't want to become a hoarder, I highly, highly recommend that you get involved with your local Humane Society or ASPCA or whatever rescue organization. Because one thing that a lot of people don't know about fostering kittens is the organization pays for all of their supplies. So that includes their litter, their food, a lot of times some sort of shelter for them to be in, like a playpen. It includes their veterinary care. And kittens, oftentimes, if they're in foster, it means they've been separated from their mom, which I will get into.
Okay.
And they do need a lot of veterinary attention for things like upper respiratory infections or ringworm or other fun fungus, but things that are a lot of times totally treatable where you just kind of nurse them back to health. So if you were to get involved with fostering a kitten, depending on what kind of shape it's in and how old it is and what resources it needs, you could just be fostering kittens for a few days, or you could have them as long as maybe a couple of months if they really need that intensive care, or they're really little when you first get them and they're not big enough to be put up for adoption.
Fascinating. Now, so with the mothers, is it kind of a situation where these kittens are like found separated already, or is it something where it's like, oh, there's not enough resources to care for, to keep the kittens together? That makes sense. Like what kind of,
great question. So a lot of times when people find kittens like in their backyard or under a car or at their friend's farm or under the shed or wherever they may see these kittens, they think, oh my gosh, these kittens are little, they're on their own, they've been abandoned by their mother. But 99% of the time, the mom is just out scrounging for food or taking care of whatever her mom duties are, and she has not abandoned her kittens. So my plea for this whole podcast is if you see kittens, leave them alone. Don't
okay.
move them away. And definitely if you see the mom, don't take them away from the mother, because that can most certainly be a death sentence for those kittens, which is never a fun thing to think about when you're thinking about these little adorable creatures that you're just trying to help. But it's kind of like anything else that you find out in the wild. It's like if you were to find like a baby bunny or a squirrel, it's like just leave it alone, because mom is probably nearby and she is the absolute best resource for those kittens. Now, if you're sure that mom is gone, and in some cases we do know that, and the kittens have been abandoned, then that's when you probably want to reach out to your local rescue group or Humane Society on the phone or on Facebook and just ask them what you should do. And you can start thinking about bringing those kittens indoors and away from other pets that you have so that they can kind of be in quarantine and they can be evaluated for the help that they need.
Absolutely. And what is the best way to quarantine them, if especially if you have other animals?
Yeah. So it's really pretty simple. Like if you have a bathroom or an extra bedroom or a closet that is just big enough to put even a cat carrier in, because a lot of times when you're finding these kittens, they're less than 8 weeks old. They're pretty small little guys. So it's just important that they have their own kind of safe space to be in with a little bit of warm bedding. You always want to offer fresh water, and you would want to offer, depending on what stage they're in, if their eyes are open and if you offer them wet cat food and they're eating it, you can certainly give them wet cat food. But if they're younger and they still need milk, then you would want to look into getting what's called KMR, which stands for Kitten Milk Replacer,
Okay.
and going through some YouTube tutorials from the kitten lady to try and figure out like how to bottle feed them. But if you're just holding on to them for a couple of hours until you can get them to a shelter, just having them in a room on their own or gated away from other pets is absolutely the best way to do it.
Absolutely, that makes a lot of sense. And with your cats now, were the cats you have now, were those ones that you had fostered and kept, or
Yeah.
were, oh, fantastic. Okay,
Yeah.
how did you determine that you wanted to keep these ones?
So we call it foster failing. So when you keep
Okay.
one of your fosters, that's a foster fail. And some people don't like that term because it has the word fail in it. But I ended up keeping, of the three cats that I do have, they were all my fosters at one point, and they were all bottle babies, which meant that they had either been separated from their mom had passed away. But they weren't able to get the nutrients they needed. So I ended up feeding them every 4 hours around the clock for weeks on end until they were stable enough to start to eat regular food. And one thing leads to another, and either they weren't moving very quickly when it was time for them to be adopted. So I ended up just keeping them.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Rocky is my oldest cat. He's 18, and I have had him since before the day he was born, because I was fostering his pregnant mom, and she had a litter of kittens in my coat closet in my first apartment as a grown-up. And all of those kittens thrived pretty well, and they were nursing, but Rocky refused to nurse, so I bottle fed him. And then he had a couple of other health issues, so I just ended up hanging on to him. Clearly, that went fine because he's lived to the ripe old age of 18 so far.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're getting ready to have his birthday party because we're crazy cat people. But the other two were pretty similar situations, so it was just best that they stayed with me.
Fantastic. When you was there a particular point, or are there particular instances where fostering becomes like too difficult, or where you have to be like, oh, I don't know if I can take care of this cat? Is there something kind
Yeah.
of to look out for?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think fostering is a pretty big emotional commitment as well as a time commitment, because it's a little bit, I don't have kids of my own, but I would assume it's a little like having kids where you can't just like go out and party and leave the kids at home. Like you have to pretty much stay with the kittens as much as possible, depending on what kind of fragile state that they're in. So it does get hard, especially when they're sick and especially when they fail to thrive. I think that's an unfortunate reality of what happens with kittens that are little and they've been separated from their mom and they have a weakened immune system, is you can give them all the vet care in the world and you can really be there for them, but occasionally you do lose them just to fading kitten syndrome, which is really unfortunate and just another reason to try and keep kittens with mom for as long as possible. But really, I think the biggest message there is to spay or neuter the pets that you do have so that you're not contributing to litters of kittens being abandoned or not having anywhere to go or being separated from their mom. So spay neuter is the absolute biggest way to solve that problem.
Absolutely. This has been absolutely fascinating and very insightful. If people wanted to know more about you or more about fostering kittens or kittens in general, what would you recommend?
Yeah, so if you want to find me and see lots of pictures of my cats, kittens, dogs, etc., you can find me on Instagram at Angela Smith STL. My DMs are open if anyone has questions about kittens or taking care of cats or kittens. Otherwise, some really wonderful resources if you want to get into fostering yourself would be to look up the Kitten Lady and her YouTube videos and website online. Also, Alley Cat Allies have great resources if you were to find a litter of kittens and didn't know what to do. And if you want to just see some really cute pictures of kittens and read some really wonderful stories about fostering, I am on the board of an organization called Caddyshack Rescue out of Hamel, Illinois, and you can check out their cats at caddyshackil.org.
Absolutely wonderful. Angela, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. This has been fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
So, my name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt's Planning.